following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope we're doing well on this March 27th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. A great show on tap for you today on what is just a beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. We're glad that you're with us. We got a lot to get to here on the show. We're going to talk with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who is on his way to Atlanta, making a pit stop in Hotlanta as he is eventually going to be in Athens, Georgia. He is on the call this weekend for Auburn baseball as they take on a top five Georgia team. So we'll get to talk to Brad about baseball. We'll get to talk to him about basketball and Tiger Talk tonight that they're hosting in downtown Atlanta. So we'll talk to Brad coming up at 2:30. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, our long-standing guest on Thursdays at 3:30. He'll be with us in hour number two. Talk all things SEC. We'll get basketball conversations, some baseball talk, any of the spring football things around the conference as well. We'll talk to Chris Gordy about that. And then outside of that, it's Sweet 16 Day. We have games in the tournament tonight. That's right, four of them will be on television tonight. And looking forward to breaking all of those down here on the show today. And joining me in the studio, as he does every single day, he is Christian Griffin, the voice of Lee Scott, also co-host of mine. What's up, my man? Happy Thursday. How are you?
Happy Thursday, man. Today feels like Christmas. And I don't know about you, but it is the best time of the year. A little bit of crossover. Happy opening day.
Happy
everybody.
Opening day.
For everybody yes. that gets the dang celebrate, happy opening day. Major League Baseball season is here. You got games that are about to have their first pitch as we speak. And then, as you mentioned, you get to follow that up with the nightcap of four fantastic Sweet 16 games and all throughout the weekend. Man, what a time it is to be alive. What a time it is to be here on the Line on ESPN 106.7 from 2 to 4.
Yeah, I mean, you've got I don't know if this is a good or a bad sign, but the first game that was supposed to start the MLB season, it's delayed. Yeah, it's the Orioles and the Blue Jays. It got delayed. So I don't even think they didn't even get the game started. The game has not even begun.
Which doesn't – I'm trying to pull up what it is because they play in the Dome.
That's true. Yeah, and it is in Toronto. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Brewers and Yankees is about to get started. We actually, while we're sitting here, I'm going to put that on our TV. Oh, look at it. Look at it. It's bright and sunny. Too bad they're in New York, but that's okay. It looks like a beautiful day there, as beautiful as it can be in New York City, of course. And so Brewers and Yankees getting the thing started. Phillies and Nationals play a little bit later. Of course, Braves are opening up their season on the West Coast. They'll take on San Diego, the Padres in their opening series, and my Boston Red Sox, we're in Arlington, taking on the Rangers at Globe Life Field. So excited to get some opening day stuff going and get the baseball season started. And so there's a lot to talk about on the show today. We would love for you to be a part of the show. If you'd like, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number, the call-in number. You can give us a shout there, give your thoughts, picks, opinions, whatever it is, or in the text box at 334-784-1067. And somebody just sent me a text that says it's delayed for a ceremony in Toronto. Maybe
they finally came to an agreement with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and they're offering him his $900 million check after sitting out for some of the preseason.
How long until somebody signs $1 billion deal? It's not going to be that long, right? I mean, it's coming eventually. NBA will be the first Well, I don't know. It could be Major League Baseball, either NBA or MLB. Somebody will do it. We're getting close to somebody signing a billion-dollar deal.
Remember? I don't know if it would 100% work exactly like that. They'd probably find a way to work it like Shohei Ohtani's contract, where he makes, you know, $2 million for the next 10 years, and then all of a sudden afterwards it's this many for, or this much for this many years.
Well, I remember, like, what was it, 15 so years ago when LeBron signed his billion-dollar Nike deal, the lifetime deal for $1 billion, to where they can use his name, face, and his, you know, his King LJ logo, which is so cool, by the way, that they can use that on whatever they want, and they paid him $1 billion to do it. That was a big deal, and now we're starting to get to the point where contracts could be worth that much. I mean, it's truly incredible. So unless I'm just naive, I don't know what the ceremony is in Toronto, but I don't know. Anyway, that I don't see that on my end, but somebody just sent me a screenshot on theirs. Looks like it's on ESPN. It says it's delayed start for a ceremony. So there you go. The MLB season is delayed because of a ceremony in Toronto. But again, you can give us a call, 334-321-1390, or the text box at 334-784-1067.
Yeah, first pitches were scheduled for 307, so just the little opening day ceremonies.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
'cause how dare we go off the time that it says?
Right? I mean, yeah. So dumb. Well, there are times set for tonight for the Sweet 16 games that officially get started, and great games on tap. You've got four of them that'll be happening, not all at the same time. You'll have two going, and then you'll have two more going. And we broke these down a little bit yesterday. I want to talk a little bit more about them today, give some of our picks and predictions as well. And we talked a little BYU-Alabama. Want to dive deeper into that one. Also, really had some good conversation yesterday about Florida and Maryland, which I think could be the sneaky, really good game tonight in the Sweet 16. That's followed by Arizona and Duke, where you were telling me before the show, you're not buying Duke as a 9.5-point favorite against Caleb Love and the Arizona Wildcats tonight. 8:39 tip-off time there in Newark, New Jersey.
No, I mean, I know that it will be more than likely a home game for Duke playing up in New Jersey, knowing that they have that fan base up in there. 9.5 just feels like a lot, especially for Caleb Love in Arizona, who's walked into Cameron Indoor and upset them a time or two before with an Arizona jersey, and obviously that rivalry runs deep with him as well. 9.5 for an Arizona Wildcat team that's playing really good and a Duke team that still hasn't played a ranked team since Auburn.
Yeah, and then the nightcap, the late game. This does not make me happy, man. I'm glad. I'm telling the boss I'm coming in late tomorrow because Arkansas and Texas Tech don't start until 9:09. But folks, that is 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Eastern time. For those of you that may be listening in Georgia or Tennessee, I'm sorry, man. Y'all got to stay up till 12:30. You have to stay up till tomorrow to watch Tennessee or to take on Arkansas and Texas Tech.
You can just go ahead. You can sleep in that recliner tonight.
I mean, that's
kind of the plan.
Which is unfortunate because I think this could be a really good game too. And that's kind of what we were talking about in the early parts of this week, where there were people upset and complaining about the lack of upsets and the lack of drama in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. This was the point that you made where you said, yes, but it's going to set up for incredible Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games. And, man, I look at all four of these games tonight in particular. I don't see one where it's just an overwhelming, this team's going to win by this many or it's going to go this way. You could tell me this time tomorrow, hey, these four teams won, and they did it this way, this way, this way, and this way. And I'd say, yeah, that sounds about right. That's probably true. And that's a good thing.
It's a very, very good thing. Yeah, you could walk in here and be like, all right, every team that was an underdog came out with a victory.
Yeah.
And obviously, that would be kind of the storyline. That's what we would talk about. But we wouldn't come on here and be like, no way that Duke just got upset. It'd be, oh, yeah, okay, they were the favorites. The biggest favorite of all of these games. Again, Alabama, 5.5-point favorite. Florida, 6.5. Duke, 9.5. And Texas Tech, only a 5.5-point favorite over John Calipari's Arkansas Razorbacks. Still doesn't feel right to say, but yes, it feels, if you're going to say that it feels a little bit underwhelming from the round of 64 and the round of 32 that you don't have a 12 or a 13 seed scheduled to play here tonight or tomorrow, be thankful that now you get to watch some high, high-level basketball.
Auburn and Duke are the two biggest favorites in the Sweet 16, both of them favored by 9.5 points. I think we both agree that that seems high for both games just because of the opponent that they're playing. I mean, Arizona, they're a dangerous squad because of the talent that they have, because of the offensive ability that they have. We've talked a lot about Michigan, and we'll do so more tomorrow, of course, but because of the size and the matchups that they pose against Auburn, it's just hard for me to see any of these teams winning by double digits this weekend. I don't see it, man. And I think, believe it or not, I think if there's one, it would be Alabama over BYU. I think this could be the spot where, I know you're hot on BYU, but I just think this could be the spot where, I'm not calling it a Cinderella story by any means, because BYU is a really good team. They're a 6 seed. That's not that crazy to have them in the Sweet 16. I just think they may run into a really good Alabama team offensively who's had a week to prepare and get ready, get right. I think if there is a game tonight that has blowout potential, and I put blowout in quotations, we'll say wins by double digits. I consider that a quote-unquote blowout, sure, in the NCAA tournament. That would be the game. If I had to pick one, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, that would be the game I would pick tonight for a team to win by double digits would be Alabama over BYU.
I can see that simply from the standpoint of, again, BYU and Alabama run a very similar style of offense. You feel like Alabama has a little bit more playmaking ability, and that's the thing that gets Alabama beat, is when you have guys that can guard on ball, and BYU plays a much more team style of defense, which usually works, but when you're playing a team, sure, that wants to shoot the ball from the perimeter, sometimes you're having to play much more one-on-one basketball, or if you can't go, or if you can't keep Mark Sears in front of you, he's going to drive the lane, has the floater, has the lob, or has the kick out for a three. Now all of a sudden your defense is in a big time scramble as Carlos Rodon throws the first pitch of the MLB season.
Ah,
would have loved to see it just go yard.
Yeah.
Churio to the short porch, but
that's all right. Yankees and Brewers underway on ESPN TV.
If I'm not going to go with that one, I could see it from the standpoint of the word depth, one that we've continued to use.
I know where you're going. Yep.
Florida and Maryland. If Derek Queen gets bottled up by Condon and Houck and guys like that, I could see this one possibly getting ugly, especially with Walter Clayton, Elijah Martin, and guys like that. So many playmakers on this Florida Gators squad. I had them getting upset to UConn. Could this be the wake-up call, or did UConn give a little bit of success, kind of that recipe of what you need to do to beat the Florida Gators? Todd Golden, man, is just a heck of a coach, and I think he has his team ready. If there's one game, I could see Florida running away with it.
I think I'm betting on Florida in the wake-up call. I think that's got to be the safer bet, yes, but I just think Florida is so good, and you said it, Todd Golden is awesome, where he's going to have this team ready to go, and they just have so many weapons that they can go after, or I guess that they can use to their advantage, and Clayton, the growth of Walter Clayton Jr., has to be studied. I mean, this kid is becoming one of the best players in the country. He already is, and he became, I should say, one of the best players in college basketball. I think Arizona and Duke will be close just because of the talent that will be on the floor. What's crazy is nobody's talking about Arkansas and Texas Tech tonight. Nobody is concerned with this game tonight, because why? I genuinely don't have a reason. You're talking about John Calipari back in the Sweet 16. He's won more tournament games this season alone at Arkansas than he did in the last five years he did in Lexington. Yeah. Think about that for a second. He won more games this year in the NCAA tournament with Arkansas, that's only two, by the way, than he did in the last 5 years during his time in Lexington. Like, we should be looking at this. The fact that the only double-digit seed in the Sweet 16 plays tonight, and they're going up against Texas Tech, who is quietly one of the best offensive teams in the country. And I can't believe this total is as low as it is. 147 compared to the 175 of Alabama and BYU. I feel like they're going to score. Texas Tech's good defensively. Arkansas's not. Arkansas's not all that. So why is nobody talking about this game? We're going to, but why is nobody bringing up Arkansas and Texas Tech? Do the other games overshadow it that bad?
I think so.
Really?
I think that, again, Texas Tech has been one of those sneaky teams throughout what feels like the entire course of the season. I mean, Texas Tech is 26-8, and they finished second in the Big 12 standings. You ask not even the average college basketball fan, you ask somebody that watches about as many games as we do and tell me where Texas Tech finished in the Big 12 standing. Top three, top four? No, they were second.
Yeah.
Behind Houston. But it just went completely by the wayside. I mean, this is a team I have playing in the national championship, and it's a fantastic team. I'm interested to see what this team does from the three-point line. Texas Tech, they shot 46 threes, and that was what I brought up after their game over UNC Wilmington in round one. They followed it up by playing Drake in round two, and they only shot 14.
And made
two of them.
Yep.
So what does this Texas Tech team see with Arkansas? I would bet they'd go to the three-point line a little bit more, with Brazil especially being down low, where Big Z possibly trying to gather up the rebounds, trying to clog up the paint. So a lot of it will come down to that offensive efficiency and the offensive ability of Texas Tech. And Arkansas, I mean, a team that what? Made four combined threes with St. John's. That's not a team that shoots it particularly well from the three-point line as well. I could see this being one of those games that's so good because it's so bad. Just an ugly game,
yeah,
where you turnovers. Feel like neither team can score. You're hoping that on an offensive possession, you just hope to get a clean shot, and if it goes in, that's just an added bonus. And you look at it, and it ends up being a fantastic game if you didn't care who won, just simply because it's not going to be a pretty game.
One more question, open-ended to you and to our listeners before we get to break. Shoot us a text or give us a call. Call in 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1067. Is it out of respect or disrespect for Arkansas as a 10 seed that they're not considered a Cinderella story? Nobody's calling them that. Nobody is blown away that they're in the Sweet 16, and nobody's even really giving them a whole lot of credit that they're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So we'll answer it when we come back. Is it out of respect or disrespect for John Calipari and Arkansas that there's just not a whole lot of hype and coverage around this Arkansas team being in the Sweet 16? We'll talk about that, plus give some picks when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being with us, as I hope this is not a sign of things to come, Christian, in terms of the Yankees and Major League Baseball. And if you're a Yankees fan out there, I'm not sorry, because your team is currently up 1-0 through two batters. And it was 1-0 through one batter, as the leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees steps in and takes Peralta deep to get the Major League Baseball season started. 1-0 Yankees over the Brewers on opening day.
Yeah, Austin Wells got a 2-0 fastball at the top of the zone, hit it into the short porch, didn't necessarily barrel it, but got enough of it. 348 went into the first row, and there's not too many times, and it shows the strength of this Yankees lineup. It shows the lineup and the strength for so many teams that the Yankees have a catcher that's their leadoff hitter.
That is rare.
And all of a sudden, Peralta gives up a leadoff home run, and it's okay. All right, nice start. Here's Aaron Judge.
And then
you get him out. Oh,
congratulations. You popped him up to shallow center. Here's Cody Bellinger. Like, it's just, it's so crazy, man. It's so crazy.
There's so many of these teams that are so stacked. I mean, the Braves is one of them as well.
Dodgers, obviously.
Oh, well, I mean, yes. But it's cool for the Braves. Jerickson Profar is their, most recent outfielder from the San Diego Padres. Mm-hmm. And he's leading off for the Braves this afternoon in Petco Park in San Diego.
Yeah, so that is pretty cool.
A cool moment for him. I'm sure he'll get a nice round of applause just because of what he did for, yeah. for the postseason hopes for the Padres. But, man, I am so excited. Baseball is here.
Baseball is here. Baseball is back. And so we're excited to talk more baseball kind of as the season gets started and as our shows go on here for the next several months. We posed a question before we went to break talking about Arkansas as they take on Texas Tech tonight. Texas Tech, they are favored in this game. Believe I had it in computer turned off. I'm about 5.5, I think, is what the spread is for Texas Tech tonight over Arkansas. We posed the question, is it out of respect or disrespect for Arkansas that nobody's talking about them, good or bad? There's no, oh, how awesome is it, the Cinderella story, or it's not, oh, why is Arkansas here? There's just nobody talking about them or this game, and got a text from John in Auburn in the text box at 334-784-1067 and says, it's about market size. He says Fayetteville and Lubbock don't move on the national needle. That's why it's not on CBS and it's out of the spotlight. And he makes a good point. You've got Alabama as a brand. Yes, it's a football brand, but it has quickly become a basketball brand. You've got Florida, which is a national brand. And of course, you've got Duke. They were always going to play on CBS tonight against Arizona, which is a basketball brand as well.
And even more to that point, Arkansas and Texas Tech don't have that star-studded player either. You can go through these all of these other teams and name just about every single player. BYU might be the one team where, again, they play more team basketball than somebody necessarily that gives off the star-studded talent. But you think about Alabama, you immediately think of Mark Sears. You go to Maryland, you think of Derek Queen. You go to Florida, you think of Walter Clayton. Arizona, Caleb Love, Duke, Cooper Flagg. You even go to tomorrow when you're looking at Ole Miss and you kind of have Sean Padula as that main guy that's emerged. Kentucky with Amari Williams, Ortega Owe, Tennessee, Chaz Lanier, Zakai Ziegler, Michigan, you have the two bigs. So many different guys on every single team that you can go to. Texas and Texas Tech and Arkansas don't give you that one type of guy. We obviously have JT Toppin as one of those star-studded guys.
Yes.
But the average fan base and the TV ratings aren't. This is not must-see TV.
Let's get to the phone lines. We got about a minute before we have to get to break. Lonnie, you're on the air. What's up, my man? How are you?
I probably should have waited until after the break, but that's all right. I've heard what y'all said about Bama maybe blowing out BYU, and I'm not so sure. I started looking at some things on this game. BYU's strength of schedule was pretty respectable. It was in the top 25, and they can score. I think they're around 25th in scoring. Bama's obviously one. But Bama's defense is trash. I think last time I looked, they were still in the 300s in defense. Now, the only thing, I think where the rubber's going to meet the road in this ball game is going to be rebounding, because Bama's such a good rebounding team. If BYU can hold their own as far as rebounding is concerned, they'll stay in the game. But if Bama, you know, muscles their way ahead of them in the rebounding category, they'll be in trouble. But assist to turnover ratio, BYU's better than Bama too. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I definitely think Bama will win, but I just think it's going to be, I think it's going to be closer than some people think.
I think so. Lonnie, we appreciate the call, my man. We have Brad Law, our guest, coming up at 2:30. So I'm glad you got in now, because that is what we were talking about. And I don't think it's a blowout either. I was thinking if there were to be a blowout tonight, and quote unquote, I'm saying win by double digits, my pick would be Bama. But to Lonnie's point, and I know you feel the same, Christian, BYU's got to hang around in this game.
Very, very much so. BYU, again, since the very beginning, was the team that I've said is one of those sleeper teams, and we had it on our selections or on our bracket show. I had BYU beating Alabama in the Sweet 16. I've made it this far. I'm not turning back now.
Yeah, it's a great game to get the night started. 6:09 start time on CBS, followed by Maryland, Florida, Arizona, and Duke, and then that Arkansas and Texas Tech game. But we're going to take a sidestep from this. We've got Auburn stuff to talk about with Tiger Talk tonight, basketball tomorrow, and baseball this weekend. And nobody better than Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network to talk all that with. He joins us coming up next.
are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goertz. He is Christian Griffin. And joining us on the phone lines on the interstate heading over to Atlanta and then eventually to Athens, Georgia, he is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, we appreciate you joining us and taking time. I know you're trying to kill some of that time as you're in the car heading over the state line.
Yeah, Jacob and Christian, good to be back on with you. It is a spectacular day, and this is the best day I can think of to start the Auburn takeover in Atlanta, because I think it's going to be one this weekend.
Well, there's so much happening and so much to talk about with you, and we're excited to jump into it. And there's no better place to start than the first reason you are on the road and you guys are on the road to Georgia is you have basketball coming up tomorrow. Tiger talk tonight, yes, we'll get to that here momentarily. But basketball with the Sweet 16 coming up tomorrow in Atlanta as Auburn takes on Michigan. Before we break that down, though, just want to get a summarization from you on what we saw from Auburn in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament from Alabama State, then to Creighton. What did you see, and how would you summarize what we saw from Auburn in the first two rounds?
Yeah, just kind of flopped through the first half, as we sometimes see one seeds do against 16s in the Alabama State game. Second half took care of business. It wasn't an inspiring performance, but they took care of business, and it sounds like, by all accounts, a much-needed sort of come-to-Jesus meeting with among teammates, and they played like it against Creighton. It was a Creighton team that was probably seeded a little lower than what they should have been, and Auburn took control in the second half, as we saw them do so many times during the regular season. How many times did we see close game at halftime and Auburn just, there's too much Auburn in the second half, and that's what you saw against Creighton. That's the way I would summarize the weekend in Lexington for basketball.
And, of course, as much fun as Auburn has had in Lexington, they've had a lot of fun in Atlanta, too, Brad. We've seen this team several times when they go to State Farm Arena, of course, where they're going to be playing Michigan tomorrow night and eventually would be playing an Elite Eight game as well. We've seen Auburn have their fair share of success against Big Ten teams in that building over the recent years.
Yeah, they play in Holiday Hoopsgiving every year in November or December. And they've played some really great. They beat Ohio State. They beat Indiana. They've really played well in that building. Even going back to Jabari Smith's year there, where we all kind of said, "Oh, that's a pro playing in a pro building." There's a lot of stuff you draw on to say, "Yeah, the stakes are higher, but this process is the same, and you win with process." You win with preparation and focus and doing the same things that you've done regularly, doing the routine things at a really high level. And that's what this team has done. And playing in this venue gives you a chance to add another sort of item to that list.
Talking with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, making his way across the state line to Atlanta, then to Athens later on. Brad, we've heard all of this talk about Michigan and the way that they run with their two centers, Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf, in there as well. You feel like from the outside looking in, that's where Michigan has a little bit of an advantage. Where do you expect Auburn to go, and where could you see Auburn possibly with a little bit of a mismatch that they try and take advantage of tomorrow night?
Yeah, Christian, you win in March with guard play, and we saw that against Creighton. We saw what Tahad and Denver were able to do off the bounce, and what Miles was able to do against Alabama State, 7-4 threes. I think you win with guard play. I think Auburn is going to be out-heighted. I don't know about out-muscled, but they're certainly not going to have the height and the length on the inside. So can Janai become a complement to the offensive game? You still need to run inside-out offense, but Janai, sometimes when he plays a taller opponent, longer opponent, he shoots a higher volume away from the basket than going toward it. And so I don't think you run your offense with him getting the bulk of the shots. I do think he's going to draw double teams because you have to respect him in a one-on-one matchup. Who can he find? Can he find Chaney to win a one-on-one? Can he find, or is it a guard? And is it a guard cutting, or is it a guard open for a three? I think that's kind of where offensively this lies, is Janai as a passer and utilizing his strengths in the passing game. They won the Creighton game, and he didn't score double figures. He had a huge rebounding day, and I think that's going to be another key. He doesn't have to score double figures to beat Michigan. He's got to get double-digit rebounds, and he probably needs 5 or more assists for Auburn to win.
And I think Auburn is going to have to take advantage of some of those matches that you were just talking about and some of the sets that they're going to be able to run. And you know, so many storylines in this game, right, Brad? Of course, Trey Donaldson, the transfer guard who was with Auburn, is now with Michigan. And don't think there's any bad blood there whatsoever. We've gotten to hear some of the players already talk about their relationship with Trey and how exciting it's going to be for them. And so do you see that? Or do you expect that to maybe carry into the actual game itself? Or do you think once the ball is tipped that those storylines that surround this game are going to kind of flush away?
I think they usually flush away, Jacob. I think that's a good observation. No matter what the story is, like when Auburn hosted Aiden Holloway or when Auburn went to Tuscaloosa and played Alabama, storylines are fine, and they're great for us to talk about leading up to the game. But you better stop them from scoring, and you better score against them. Auburn doesn't want Trey to score in this game tomorrow. They love Trey. Coaches and players love Trey Donaldson. They don't want him to score a point. And they want the guy that he's guarding to go off for 30, I promise. So I do. I think all that goes away once the ball is tipped, and it's about executing one specific game plan for 40 minutes.
As again, we are talking with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. Outside of Auburn and Michigan, Brad, do you have a matchup that you are going to be paying attention to? The SEC is very well represented in the Sweet 16. Are you watching any particular games, keeping up with any of them? And how do you think the SEC does this in the round of the 16 and then possibly the Elite Eight as well?
Well, they can't all go undefeated, can they? Because Kentucky and Tennessee play. I'm watching that matchup with a great deal of intrigue, certainly. I think that's interesting because it's the third meeting between those teams. It's the clash of styles, defense for Tennessee, offense for Kentucky. Arkansas, I don't know about their depth. You know, they're well-rested because there's so much time between games. But I'm interested in Ole Miss and Michigan State. Chris Beard and Tom Izzo last met in the 2019 Final Four when Beard was the coach at Texas Tech, and that Texas Tech team won. I expect Ole Miss to beat Michigan State. Would not surprise. I mean, again, I expect it. So that's probably the one, because it's the one that's in our bracket that I'm watching the most closely, because it most directly, you know, impacts Auburn's next game if the Tigers win tomorrow.
Brad, I know you're on your way for Auburn and Georgia, but got to get your opening thoughts on opening day. Obviously, I know a big Braves fan that you are. What are some of your thoughts, and what is your favorite time here for opening day that you love to celebrate?
Oh, that's a good – you know what? I'll be honest with you, Christian, because of the way this basketball and baseball season have gone, I haven't followed very closely. My son, who's 11 – let me know that today was opening day. We discussed it yesterday. He said, you know, the Braves opening day is tomorrow. And I, like a typical dad, was like, oh, son, you don't know what you're talking about. They don't open until the beginning of April. He's like, no, really, it's tomorrow. I checked four different sources before I actually believed that opening day was today. So we'll see. Look, Braves are one of the best regular season teams in professional baseball for the last half a dozen years. I expect to be good again, and I'll be tuned in today while we set up for Tiger Talk.
For sure, and something that you are able to talk a little bit more about, a top 15 matchup at Foley Field, the second-ranked Dogs hosting the 11th-ranked Auburn Tigers. Georgia, one of the best teams and playing the best baseball right now, coming off the sweep in Gainesville, run ruling a top 5 Florida team in 2 of the 3 games. Auburn winners in 2 of the starting the top 2 series, winning 2 of the first 3 games. What are you excited about in this one? Should be a lot of star-studded talent and a whole lot of power at the plate in this series.
Yeah, and in a ballpark that's conducive to offense. Georgia leads the nation in home runs, and second place is 13 or so behind them, I think. They also have 2 of the top players, batting average leaders in the SEC. They have 4 of the top 10 players in terms of walks drawn. So they're not just hitting home runs, and they're not solo homers. They've got a few of the leaders in on-base percentage. These guys are getting on base, and then they're just clobbering the ball. So, you know, Auburn's going to give up home runs this weekend. Can you make them solo homers rather than three-run homers? I think that's going to be a great difference in this game. They draw walks. They get on base. You've got to throw strikes, but you can't throw right over the heart of the plate. I'm excited to see Samuel Dutton. I think his demeanor is perfect for an environment like this, going in against the top five team in a bandbox of a stadium. He's not going to, you know, he's been unflappable to this point in the year. So I think he leads into, you know, leans into that position and leads by example there. And then Auburn offensively, can they, you know, can they take advantage of the smaller dimensions and the wind blowing out in that ballpark? Auburn is not taking a back seat in terms of power to be like most of the rest of the other teams in the SEC. And Georgia has the 14th ERA in the SEC coming into this. They give up on average almost 5 runs a game from an earned run average perspective. So, you know, can the pitchers stay away from the walks? And can the hitters generate even more offense than we saw in Kentucky over the weekend?
This is obviously not the mindset of coaches and players when they step into a series like this. But for guys like us, we get to pose this type of a question. With Auburn winning their first two series in SEC play, and now you go on the road and take on a top five Georgia team, is a successful weekend getting a game? Is it getting one of the three that you play? Of course, like I said, coaches, players, and that thing, they want to win the series. But from our perspective on what a successful weekend would look like, is just getting one and getting out of Athens good enough for you?
Maybe from your perspective now, and that's, and I don't say that in any way to, I just, you know, you talk about it every day.
Sure.
And it is, Georgia is the higher ranked team and they are playing at home. I can tell you from the team perspective and from my perspective as a broadcaster of the team, go win one, and then after you win one, see if you can win the next one. They don't, and I know that, like, Butch Thompson and I had our most extensive conversation ever about this just last weekend in Lexington. They don't go in thinking three games at a time. It's one. So right now the focus is on Friday. And if you go in and you win the game tomorrow, well, now you go to Saturday and just win one game and you've won a series. And so I don't know if that's getting down too into the weeds to answer that question, but I know this team feels like, and they've been talking about Muhammad Ali and George Foreman when they went into that. George Foreman was the higher-rated boxer, and he was expected to win. And, you know, Muhammad Ali pretty good too, and wound up pulling what was considered an upset at the time. And I think this team mentality is, yeah, they're good. They hit a bunch of home runs. This team's capable of hitting. They're not taking a back seat. They're going to be the aggressor. They're going to go in with confidence that they have earned, not false confidence, but confidence that they've earned from their play so far this season, and they will expect to go toe-to-toe with this Georgia team all weekend long.
I love it. I love it. I think that should be the mindset, and I think Auburn has a very good chance to be successful in Athens this weekend, and hoping that Auburn basketball is successful in Atlanta this weekend as well. And Brad, as we are about to let you go, I know you still got a little bit to go before you guys get to downtown Atlanta, but tell the people what's going on. We got Tiger Talk tonight, basketball tomorrow, baseball all weekend. Hopefully we got basketball on Sunday too. So tell the people what they need to know for the upcoming broadcast over the next, 4 days or so?
Yep, and I'm going to focus it heavily on the next 2 days. Tonight, Tiger Talk, 6 o'clock, Wings 94.3. And I'd encourage folks listening to us now, like you're only an hour and a half, 2 hours, well, 2 hours, I guess, from downtown Atlanta. Come join. If you're coming up, come a little early and join us for the show tonight. 6 Central, 7 Eastern. We've got Bruce Pearl, Stephen Pearl, the team hotel, the 6th floor. They have this beautiful overlook room with these picture windows. It's going to be a stunning room that we are in tonight, and lots of electricity. It's the first time we've done this since we did it in 2019 in Kansas City as well at the Team Hotel, and it was a wonderful show. And so we want people to tune in to that. Come to it if you can, but certainly tune into it if you're going to be back home in Auburn starting at 6. Then tomorrow we'll have baseball on ESPN 106.7. That's a 4:45 start with a 5 o'clock first pitch Central Time. And then on Wings 94.3, 8 o'clock tomorrow, pregame coverage for Auburn and Michigan in the Sweet 16.
There you go. That's what you need to know if you're here in Auburn, Opelika, listening to the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, we appreciate your time. As always, safe travels to you and the entire crew. And all we ask is you guys bring back a bunch of wins. That's all we want from you.
Look, max of five. That doesn't seem too much to ask. You can count that on one hand. Let's do it. And look, we'll keep our hands on the wheel. War Eagle, have a great rest of the day.
Thanks so much, Brad. We appreciate the time, as always. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us on the phone lines. He does every Thursday at this time, but we got to get him on the road as they're heading to Atlanta right now. We'll take our break, come back, and wrap up our number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us in the car on the phone lines as they are heading to Atlanta. He'll then drive a little bit further and go to Athens, and appreciate his time and being able to talk about Auburn and Michigan, talk Auburn baseball. A lot of fun having a conversation with him each and every week. And we got a couple of minutes left here in hour number one. Christian, go ahead and plug Lee Scott Baseball because you got to dip out early today. You'll be leaving after the first hour, so here in just a couple of minutes, because you are heading to Dadeville, heading up Highway 280 to call a little Lee Scott Baseball in area play.
Yeah, Lee Scott and Dadeville. First pitch in game one is scheduled for 4:30. That is on the campus of the Tigers. We'll then have a doubleheader tomorrow for the three-game set. Warriors are winners in 9 of their last 10, playing really, really solid baseball right now. The beach trip that the Warriors took where they won 3 of 4, they must have just left the bats out in the sun because they got hot and they brought it back to Auburn Opelika. And I mean, it's absolutely fantastic to watch. They're coming off a 6-5 walk-off win over Benjamin Russell. And they're 3-0 in area play after the sweep over Beulah, looking to get off on the right foot this afternoon. Again, first pitch scheduled for 4:30. I will go on right around 4:15, 4:20, based off of how everything is looking with infield, outfield, with some of the umpire status and things like that. But all of that right after the show today on Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, and that beautiful Radio Alabama app.
There you go. So check that out. Tiger Country 104.5 on the Lee Scott Sports Network. We are going to be talking in hour number two. That is me. Be talking some more about some of these Sweet 16 games. You may be calling in once you kind of get down and on the road a little bit. You'll be probably calling in to talk for just a little bit. And then I'll get Chris Gordy on the phone of Locked On SEC. Excited to have him on. He is boots on the ground somewhere. We'll tell you where in just a little bit. If you've listened to this show long enough, you could probably take a pretty good guess at where our man Chris Gordy is. But yeah, so excited to talk about all that in hour number two. We'll kind of give some official picks and things. And so really excited for all of that, and really excited for Auburn baseball this weekend, man. As Brad mentioned, Dutton's going on Friday, Fisher on Saturday, and it's still TBA for the Sunday starter there in Athens. But and you heard Brad kind of answer my question about the idea of what's the mindset going into a series like this. He gave a very good answer, and I think it's how most teams look at it. One game at a time on the road against a really good Georgia team. I think, though, if we come in here on Monday and Auburn goes 1-2, they win a game in Athens and the others were competitive, I think we'll be satisfied with that. We'd love to win the series, yes. But I think we, as fans, as guys that cover it, would be satisfied at the end of the day. You go 2-1, 2-1, 1-2 in your first three SEC series, with two of those being on the road. Yeah, I think you'd be very happy with that.
Yeah, and again, a team that's so high-powered like Georgia is, at a ballpark that is very, very hitter friendly. It's going to be a fantastic series. Again, you're playing strength on strength with both of these lineups having so much juice in the bats. You take it on a Friday where if you can get the starter out on Friday, get into the bullpen, and even if that doesn't result in a win on game one, you then know that they have less guys to use on Saturday and Sunday, or it would be arms that you've already seen earlier in the weekend. So get to Friday, try and eat some innings, eat some pitches, and work your way into Saturday and Sunday. If you can steal game one, then like what Brad said, you win one of the next two, and you're coming back to Auburn pretty happy.
No doubt about it. We'll talk more about that in hour number two, plus on tomorrow's show as well. Christian, safe travels, my friend. We'll hear from you in just a little bit, but stick around. We've got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
In Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. If you missed any of hour number one, you'll be able to catch it with the podcast. You'll find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also find it wherever you get your podcast, and we had a lot of fun in hour number one. We talked with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, got his thoughts on Auburn basketball, of course, as they take on Michigan tomorrow in Atlanta for the Sweet 16. Also got to talk to him about Auburn baseball, as they are going to be in Athens this weekend taking on a top five Georgia team. And so I got to get his thoughts on all that and a lot more. So talked to Brad in hour number one. Also started to really talk about the games coming up tonight in the Sweet 16. And excited to give official picks for those here in hour number two. So that was all in the first hour. Be sure to check all that out again, ESPNAU.com. You can also, again, just search it wherever you get your podcast. Here in the second hour, though, as I said, going to make some picks for the games tonight coming up in the Sweet 16. May start to do a little sneak peek on what's coming up on the slate for tomorrow. And then we're going to talk to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. He will be joining us on the phone lines as he does every Thursday at 3:30. We'll get his thoughts on SEC basketball, baseball, and if there's time, we'll get his thoughts on early spring practice things around the SEC as well. Before all of that, though, we do want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of our show each and every day here on ESPN. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to be a part of the show, give me a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the call-in number, 334-321-1390. You can shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Just you and me in hour number two. Christian Griffin outside getting on the road. He will be on his way to Dadeville, as he'll be calling some Lee Scott baseball tonight, taking on Dadeville. That is an area play, so you can check that out on Tiger Country 104.5. He'll be going on the air, I believe 4:30. He told me which one, and it slipped my mind right here. So he'll be on the air a little bit later. I think he's going to call in and give us some of his picks for the Sweet 16. And so now's the time for you to get in, and then once we get to Chris Gordy, we will wrap that up. But games coming on tonight. The Sweet 16 is here. You've got BYU and Alabama, Maryland and Florida, Arizona and Duke, and then Arkansas and Texas Tech. In a big conversation we've been having over the last couple of days, and then especially in hour number one, was if there are blowout potentials here, games that are being overhyped, maybe some that are being underhyped, right? Maybe ones that aren't being talked about as much. And the game we kind of settled on in that first hour was Arkansas and Texas Tech. The fact that nobody's really talking about that game, but it could be really, really good. And then we had Lonnie call in the first hour and talked about how he thinks BYU's going to hang around with Alabama tonight. And I think a lot of people are on that boat. I think a lot of them are in that category of believing that BYU can not only hang around with Alabama, can straight up beat Alabama in this game tonight up at the Prudential Center in New Jersey. And I'm curious, if we do have Alabama fans listening, please reach out to us on the phone lines at 334-321-1390 or the text box at 784-1067. But I'm curious on how disappointing this would be for Alabama if they lose in this game tonight. Because we can all agree that Alabama's very good, right? We can all agree that they're a pretty good basketball team. They got it going on. They handled business in their first two games. And throughout SEC play, they were a tough out. They got Auburn, right? Beat Auburn on a buzzer beater inside of Neville Arena in overtime. So I think the expectations were pretty high for this Alabama squad. But I don't know if their fans were truly expecting a back-to-back Final Four run. I think we knew they were going to be good, and we talked all preseason and non-conference play, and even before the season started, that it was going to be Auburn and Alabama in the SEC. It was going to be those two teams who were going to run it. Florida, we knew, was going to be good. We didn't know they were going to be this good. Didn't know Kentucky was going to be solid. Tennessee, obviously, was supposed to be good. And so I think the expectations were give yourself another shot if you're Alabama. And here you are. Now you're in the Sweet 16, and you're taking on a pesky BYU team. I think it's fair to say Alabama fans would be disappointed if Alabama doesn't win tonight, right? If the Crimson Tide falls to BYU, they would be disappointed. But I don't think their season would be a failure, right? And this conversation's come around with Auburn, too, because at this point, anybody can lose in any of these games. There will not be a single shock if somebody loses from here on out. So that's how good the Sweet 16 field is. We had that conversation a little bit in the first hour. You're not playing any jokes. You're not playing any shouldn't be here teams. Everybody deserves to be in this Sweet 16. And so I think the expectations are a little bit higher for Auburn fans, since you are the number one overall seed compared to Alabama, who's a very good two seed. And I would like to say that the difference in expectations is probably a single round in the NCAA tournament. Because I've talked about how I think Auburn has to get to the Elite Eight to make this season successful. It would still be disappointing. It would. It would still be upsetting to see Auburn lose in the Elite Eight. But what I'm saying is, if Auburn loses tomorrow night, fans are not going to be happy because of how good this team is and what we've seen from them all season long. Alabama's a little bit of a different conversation. I think to this point, Alabama fans should be content. You should be proud of your team to get this far. Should you expect to win tonight? No doubt about it. No doubt in my mind, you should expect to win. You're favored. You're favored in the game. You should expect to win. But I think it's a little bit of a stretch to say we believe we should make the Final Four, talking for Alabama fans here. I just think that's a little bit of a stretch. I really do. And they better play good basketball tonight, because if they don't, BYU will beat them. Same thing with Florida against Maryland. Same thing with Duke against Arizona. And same thing for Texas Tech against Arkansas. And you've got three SEC teams in action tonight. And then you've got four SEC teams in action tomorrow. Of course, two of them playing each other, with Kentucky and Tennessee. And so I will pose this question to you, our listeners. How many SEC teams make it to the Elite Eight? How many SEC teams will make it to the Elite Eight? I'll get you started. There will be at least one, because Kentucky and Tennessee play each other. So you're going to get at least one. But how many more make it? I think when you look at this with the three that play today and with the three possibilities that play tomorrow, of the six chances you have to get a team to the Elite Eight, I think the SEC will get half. I think the SEC will get three in the Elite Eight, which is pretty darn good when you think about it. That's pretty impressive for the Southeastern Conference, for any conference, but for the SEC in particular. One that was so bad for so long, where it was dominated by one team in Lexington who won the conference every year, 9 times out of 10, and they were the best team from the conference in the NCAA tournament year after year after year. This conference has come a long way, man. It's come a long way. And I think of the six opportunities that the SEC has to get a team to the Sweet 16, I'm going to take half. I'm going to take three. Not quite ready to tell you who yet, but I think that's a good number. Anything, talk about expectations and disappointment and satisfied from a conference perspective, I think anything less than that is disappointing. I do. I'll say it. I think only getting one or two to the Elite Eight, given the season you just had, which people are calling the greatest season that's ever been had by a single conference in college basketball, to not get at least three to the Elite Eight, that's a failure. It is. And I don't like to use that word in sports. I don't. But I think it would be a disappointment if nothing else. Now, you start talking about getting four, right? You start talking about getting four or five teams to the Elite Eight from the SEC. You're talking legit dominance. You're talking history, again, as we have all season long with the Southeastern Conference. Could the SEC go 6-6, or I guess 6-4-6? Would that be the craziest thing? Would the world be blown away if the SEC had Alabama beat BYU, Florida beat Maryland, Arkansas upset Texas Tech, right? And I'm going to count favorites and underdogs here. Auburn beat Michigan, Ole Miss to beat Michigan State, and then, of course, again, Kentucky and Tennessee, so we'll just count that. That would be three favorites to win, two underdogs to win, and then whoever it is from Kentucky and Tennessee. Would that be so crazy for all six to make it? The only non-SEC representatives would be a combination of Purdue and Houston and Duke and Arizona. Man, the SEC haters would not have a single word to say. The SEC doubters would have no room to talk. There is nothing you can say. And guess what? I think if you get to four, they can't say anything anyway. When you can bang your chest and say it just means more because we have half of the Elite Eight, no other conference can say that. That's pretty impressive, man. And the fact that the SEC has a chance to do that with 2 1-seeds, 2 2-seeds, and a 3-seed, you're doing something right. These aren't flukes. These aren't anomalies. I don't care that Arkansas is a 10-seed. They deserve it. I don't care that Ole Miss is a 6-seed. They've earned it. This is big-time stuff, man. And I'm still rolling with three. I think three of the possible six opportunities for the SEC, they will represent in the Elite Eight. But with the games tonight, we got to make some picks. I want to tell you who I think wins between BYU, Alabama, Maryland, and Florida, Arizona, Duke, and Arkansas and Texas Tech. We'll talk about that when we come back, as we're just underway in hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on with the Thursday edition of On the Line as we are making picks for the Sweet 16, which begins tonight. Four games tonight, four games tomorrow. Christian Griffin on the road heading to Dadeville, but he joins us on the phone lines as we are making picks for the games tonight. But you wanted to chime in on the conversation or the topic I was just on a moment ago about how many teams make it to the Sweet 16 from the SEC. What's your number?
Well, first off, I think it's a little bit funny. You think I'm headed to Dayville? I'm headed to Atlanta.
Oh,
I'm going to watch Auburn.
You've got us all fooled. You loaded up the gear. You said you were going to Dayville, but you went the complete opposite direction. I respect it. I do. I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 280 is giving me good company right now. I agree. I think three is a solid number. I know it's great radio just to agree with the co-host with everything. But I think one tonight, and I think two tomorrow, advance with one of the obvious picks with Tennessee and Kentucky. But I mean, I'll let you take control of the picks, but no, one tonight and two tomorrow is my prediction for three.
Well, let's work our way from the bottom to the top. We'll start with Arkansas and Texas Tech. You and I mentioned we were discussing why this game hasn't been discussed more. Texas Tech favored by 5.5. This being played in San Francisco, California. I don't know how many fans of Texas Tech and Arkansas are going to be out there, but should be a really good game. 9:09 tonight on TBS and True TV. Who do you have, the 10-seeded Hogs or the 3-seeded Texas Tech?
Well, we haven't called them a Cinderella story, and I don't think that that's the right word to use just because of the coach that's at the helm. I think you could say it with the talent or what you saw early on from this Razorback team, but I'm going to go away from it. I think that JT Toppin is going to be enough of a scorer for Arkansas. I don't think that Arkansas has a true answer for JT Toppin and a couple of those point guards. If they can get going from deep, I think that JT Toppin can take over in the paint. I think, again, it's going to be one of those ugly games that people enjoy just because you're just kind of laughing the entire time waiting for one team to do something right. But I will pick Texas Tech to beat the Razorbacks tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Red Raiders too. I think this Arkansas team is talented. I think John Calipari has done an incredible job down the stretch with them as of late. But nobody picked them to go this far, and I'm not going to pick them to go any further. I'll take Texas Tech to beat Arkansas late tonight if anybody stays up to watch that game. Then happening in Newark, New Jersey, again, working our way from the bottom to the top of the time slots of these games, it's 4-seeded Arizona and Caleb Love in his 28th season of college basketball, taking on the second overall team in the NCAA tournament, the 1-seeded Duke Blue Devils with Cooper Flagg, who is well-rested, is probably feeling pretty close to 100%, Christian. Blue Devils favored by 9.5.
It's something that we talked about to begin the show. That just feels like a number that's a little bit too tall of a task, and I know that, again, Duke is one of the best teams in the country. But when you're looking at the game log for Cooper Flagg, I mean, he hasn't necessarily had to do too much as of late, which is what you were talking about. Had 18 against Baylor, only had 14 against Mount St. Mary's in round one. Again, wasn't necessarily needed. And then had a couple of breaks from the injury and only 2 points before the injury against Georgia Tech. Man, somebody like Tyrese Proctor is going to have to step up and have a really big game. I'm going to go with the Wildcat.
Wow.
I'm going to make the jump and say that this will be the one game that we come in and highlight and talk about. I think 9.5 is too tall of a task. Man, I think Caleb Love, after coming off the game he had against Oregon, he's going to continue to ride that momentum. And Duke, again, has not played a ranked opponent since the Auburn Tigers in what feels like 2014. I'm going to take the Arizona Wildcats to pull off the upset of the night.
Well, we talked so long this season, and I planted my flag that Duke would not make it to the Sweet 16, or maybe it was past the Sweet 16. I think I said to the Sweet 16. They have proven me wrong in that point because you said it. guys like Tyrese Proctor have stepped up and played much better as of late. I think Arizona is going to give them everything they want. And the only way that Duke wins this game tonight is if Cooper Flagg comes out and plays like a National Player of the Year candidate. I'm talking 25-8-7. I think he does it. I really do. I think Cooper Flagg will do it tonight. As much as Auburn fans don't want to hear it, I think Duke will win. I am not picking them to cover a 9.5-point spread because Arizona is going to give them everything. I've just seen too many lapses with this Arizona offense. They turn the ball over sometimes, and I think Duke is still a really, really good basketball team. I think John Shire is an excellent coach. I'm going to take Duke. And Cooper Flagg, for the first time in a long time, will truly be the difference maker in this one for the Blue Devils. And so that is the second-to-last game of the night. That one's at 8:39 on CBS. You move up, okay? Maryland, the fourth seed with Derek Queen coming off the buzzer beater. They take on Florida, another one seed who is so good and playing such good basketball. Had to fend off UConn in the round of 32. Gators favored by 6.5 tonight, Christian Griffin, Florida and Maryland.
Yeah, see, I had UConn upsetting Florida. And Dan Hurley, man, despite what you have to say, on the court is a fantastic coach. And that was one of those I will pick with or stick with the national champion until they prove me wrong. Florida did do that. Walter Clayton did that. Elijah Martin did that, especially down the stretch. Walter Clayton, you could make the true argument, is the best player in the tournament right now. And I know that that's a very bold statement to say, but if you've watched Florida as of late, even working through the end of the regular season, the SEC championship or the SEC tournament and the SEC championship, and then single-handedly pulling out your toughest shots to defeat UConn and Dan Hurley, I wanted to go away from him, and I thought that UConn would be the wake-up call, and I thought that it would be too little too late because of that, and Florida able to escape. I'm going to take Florida to beat Derek Queen, and again, the depth of Maryland I could see becoming a true factor in this game. Give me Florida and give me the Gators to cover as well.
Wow, you're taking them to win and to cover. I feel like that is a pretty good pick. I'm going with Florida in the wake-up call, and the depth is something everybody has talked about, and it's being talked about for a reason. I just think Florida's too good, man. And I think you will see in that game alone how the top-tier teams in college basketball have asserted themselves this year, have separated themselves this year, and I think Florida will do that tonight. I know I picked Alabama as my potential blowout game, but Florida could slowly pull away from Maryland, who may just not have any gas left in the tank, even though they've had a week off or so. They just may not have the dudes to keep up with this Florida Gators team, so I'm going to take Florida to win. I'll say Maryland keeps it around thanks to some late free throws. One of those last second threes that doesn't matter to anybody except the entertainment purposes only crowd. And so I'm going to take Florida to win, but Maryland with a backdoor cover at the buzzer. And then the game that you have talked a lot about, Christian, the one to kick us off in the Sweet 16, the six-seeded BYU taking on the second-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. Every Auburn fan is hoping the BYU, the Cougars, can get it done and try to pull off the upset, one of the biggest one of the tournament so far. Can BYU do it against Alabama as 4.5-point underdogs?
It sounds crazy to say, Jacob, that a game that is supposed to be a 4.5-point scoring differential could be one of the more surprising upsets in the tournament, and it's coming at the round of the Sweet 16, which is something that, again, we've talked about for what feels like forever with somebody or people, not somebody, but people complaining about the lack of upsets and just the chalk continuing to advance. This could be one of the greatest games of the Sweet 16, and the fact that it's the introductory game for it. And I think that it's going to set so much excitement on a day that already does with opening day. I've said it before, I'm going to continue to ride with them. There's no reason for me not to. I was called crazy saying that BYU would upset Wisconsin. They do. The Cougars get another one tonight. They kick off the Sweet 16 and kick off what is going to be an absolutely fantastic weekend with an upset over the Crimson Tide.
There it is. You're picking BYU. As much as I want to do it, and as much as I want to please Auburn fans, I think Alabama's just got too much. They've got too much offense, man. I just don't think BYU can keep up. I'm going to take Alabama to win, and I'm going to take Alabama to cover. I think they'll cover that 4.5-point spread. I'm taking the Crimson Tide to get it done over BYU. Christian, we're about to get to break. Plug Lee Scott one more time. You are probably about halfway or so to Dadeville. Well, you've got Lee Scott baseball tonight on the network.
Yeah, Lee Scott Academy taking on the Tigers of Dadeville. Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net. The Radio Alabama app, I heard you say that you couldn't remember what time. First pitch scheduled for 4:30. We'll go on right around 4:15 or so, and with that pick that you have with Alabama, I'm just glad that there's a clear consensus of the new favorite co-host of the two of them.
Yeah, you're now the fan favorite since you chose BYU to take down Alabama. Safe travels, my friend. Have a good call. We appreciate you hopping on as you are on the way to Dadeville. That's Christian Griffin, my co-host. But you and me, we got 30 more minutes, and we're joined by Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, our longstanding Thursday guest. He joins us coming up next.
On the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. My co-host, Christian Griffin, on the road heading to call some Lee Scott baseball up in Dadeville. And so you can tune into that later on. First pitch at 4:30 on Tiger Country 104.5. But we get to the phone lines and welcome in our one of our favorite guests of the week. He joins us every Thursday at 3:30. He is the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris Gordy with us on the phone lines. And man, you're not at the station. You're not at your house. You are attending opening day, my friend. We appreciate you taking the time.
No, I appreciate it, man. I think I've done this the last few years with you in the middle of the baseball game, done our hit together. So, no, it's fun. I, you know, get to do a little bit of everything. And I actually got a text this morning from a friend who lucked himself into some tickets for the Atlanta Regional for the college basketball this weekend, but don't think I'm going to be able to get out there for that, but it was on the table to get out there to go see some of the teams in action out there in Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, well, that would have been super cool, and you would have seen some really good games there at State Farm Arena, but you are there at the Astros taking on the Mets, a part of opening day. I mean, it's a special day across the country for those that still celebrate opening day of the Major League season. Are the expectations high for the Astros, or is it just kind of ebb this season? Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost a couple free agents, you know, Alex Bregman being the big one, the former LSU Tiger went to Boston. They traded Kyle Tucker to the Cubs, cause he's, you know, heading into his final year of play and, you know, was going to be due for a fat contract. So they made some moves. They are still projected to be the favorites to win the AL West and be a playoff team. And yeah, I got a buddy who's a big Braves fan and kind of feels like the Braves are in the same boat, like, still really good, but like, are they a World Series contender? I don't know. We'll have to see how both teams play out throughout this season.
Well, there's a lot happening right now across the league. Opening day games happening. Braves are at 1-0 on the Padres, and we'll give you some updates on our way out of the show today. But we bring you on here, Chris, to talk, of course, the Southeastern Conference. And there's so much to get to. And we'll start with the obvious of the NCAA tournament in college basketball, where the SEC is very well represented. Are you impressed with what the conference did as a whole in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, where you've got 7 teams represented in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I mean, you can't not be impressed. 7 teams from one conference is obviously by far a record. Nobody's ever done that before. You know, I had somebody tell me, oh, well, they got 14 in, you know, so you only get 7 of the Sweet 16. I said, yeah, but it was all the lower seeds that lost. You know, really, you know, A&M was a 4, but yeah, I didn't have much faith in them as it was. So, but to me, the bigger thing is if all the top seeds are still alive and kicking. And you know, I think still any of, you know, Florida or Tennessee or Alabama or Auburn, I think all have a chance to still win this thing. You know, see what happens with the Tennessee and Kentucky game. If Kentucky does win that, maybe they prove themselves worthy as a team that can get to the Final Four or play for a championship. So it's been a lot of fun, but yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, the SEC backs it up. It's one thing to claim you're the best conference and, you know, all those great non-conference wins they had prior to conference play starting up, but they've backed it up here in the tournament so far, and it's been fun to watch.
We were talking earlier on the show about this Arkansas team and the fact that they're going up against Texas Tech and just very little coverage because of it. And I posed a question, and I want to give it to you and a chance to answer it. Is it out of respect for Arkansas and how good they are with John Calipari that nobody's talking about them? Or is it disrespectful that nobody's giving them any coverage as the only double-digit seed in the Sweet 16?
Well, that's the thing. Like the headline people were running with earlier this week was there's no Cinderellas. There's no Cinderellas. And I'm like, well, what is Arkansas? I mean, a team that started 0-5 in the conference and, you know, had to dig their ways out of the doldrums to make the tournament. Now here they are in the Sweet 16. I mean, that to me says Cinderella. Now I get it. You look at their roster and they got 5 stars all over and, you know, a couple transfers from Kentucky and, I think Cal's done a pretty good job. I've had a few people tell me they think this might be one of his better coaching jobs that he's done as in a season. And, you know, they got Boogie Flan back, who played in the first 2 games of the tournament, was okay. You know, hasn't really taken over a game. But now the rumblings out of Deuce Arrow, I know Cal said the other day that he expects him expected him back. And then yesterday they kind of pumped the brakes on it a little bit. And he said, well, if he give us 8 to 10 minutes, you know, that would be a miracle or something like that. So we'll see if he plays. But we know, you know, when he's healthy, he's their best player. I mean, he could do it all. So, yeah, man, Arkansas's got a chance. You know, I would lean Texas Tech if I was picking, you know, games this weekend or tonight. But they've got a chance. They've got some great players that, you know, have been around a bit. And, you know, Cal, like I said, he always – seemed to, when he was at his best at Kentucky, this was when he got the most out of his players and the most out of his team. And the last 5 years in Lexington didn't really do that. Had some early tournament exits, but this year, that, you know, he's overachieving and he wants to prove to Tyson Chicken that money that they gave him was worth every penny, and he's earning it so far. So again, if I'm a betting man, I'm leaning Texas Tech tonight, but certainly wouldn't count Arkansas pulling up off the upset.
Well, you mentioned Kentucky and talking about coaching jobs. You have to bring up Mark Pope and the job that he has done. I don't think any Kentucky fan, I don't think any SEC fan, I don't think any college basketball fan, when Mark Pope was hired at Kentucky or half the fan base said, who had this team making it to the Sweet 16? I mean, this has to be one of the best jobs done in the entire country, with what Mark Pope took over with, and now that they have a chance to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I've been saying this all week. Very rarely do you have, like, coaching change moves that just work out for everybody. You know, Calipari, Kentucky wanted him to move on. He moved on, went to Arkansas. Well, Arkansas is in a better spot with him. You know, they go and steal Mark Pope from BYU. I remember some Kentucky fans weren't fond of the hire at the time, but look at where they are. He's gotten them further than they've been in the last 5 years. And then BYU goes and grabs, I think it's Kevin Miller or whatever his name was, from the NBA. And look at BYU. They get to the Sweet 16. Mark Pope had not won a tournament game at BYU prior to that. So it's the rare occurrence where this domino worked out for all three teams involved. I think the only team it didn't work out for was USC stealing Eric Musselman away. They didn't seem to be much better. But everybody else, it worked out for with Arkansas, BYU, and Kentucky all sitting here in the Sweet 16.
It's pretty incredible to see as we're talking with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. He joins us every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. So games tonight, games tomorrow, Chris. The million-dollar question that I posed to everybody today, of the 6 opportunities that the SEC has to put teams into the Elite Eight, of course, Kentucky and Tennessee, one of those will win. So 6 opportunities for the SEC to get teams to the Elite Eight. How many teams make it, and who are they?
Yeah, I think it's going to be at least it's going to be 4.
Okay.
Look, one team is doomed because the winner of Tennessee Kentucky obviously is eliminated. So you know there's going to be at least one SEC team eliminated. I already told you I don't think Arkansas will be Tech tonight, but I think all the other SEC teams will or have a really good chance to. I think Florida is going to run the floor with Maryland. I think somebody told me this the other day, Florida may have just played their toughest game of the tournament that they're going to play in narrowly sneaking by UConn. I don't know if they're going to be tested again the rest of the way. We'll see. But I think Florida will win handily. I think Alabama will handle BYU. I just think they're built different. Grant Nelson getting back closer to full health. Mark Sears, I know, didn't have the best game last time out, but, you know, he's got, you know, what you want is that senior guard play when you get to this level. I think Alabama wins tonight. Auburn, I think, is in for a tough one with Michigan. I think it's going to be a dogfight, but I still think Auburn prevails. And then, of course, the winner of Tennessee, Kentucky, we'll see who comes out of that one. I think Ole Miss, the train has probably run up. I mean, it's been, Chris Beard's done a fantastic job. It's a great accomplishment to get this far, but I think it'll be curtains for Ole Miss tomorrow.
Okay, well, there you go. Chris has four teams from the SEC representing in the Elite Eight. I think that would be a very successful trip. Of course, we're hoping for Auburn to do it against Michigan tomorrow. A lot of Auburn fans nervous about this game because of the bigs and, of course, the guard and the storylines and things like that for Michigan against Auburn. But before we move on to baseball, Chris, the coaching carousel has already been flying at 100 miles an hour. Your thoughts on Rodney Terry being canned at Texas and then all of a sudden they just have a new head coach within a couple of hours, it seemed like, with Sean Miller from Xavier being the new guy there in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go back and tell the story of Texas and what happened with Chris Beard. You know, it's the allegations of, you know, he hits his wife and the police come out, all that kind of stuff. And then she ends up dropping the charges. And so Texas was kind of left in a tough spot that year. And they knew they had a really good roster that year, but they made the tough decision to fire Chris Beard. They elevate Rodney Terry as the interim coach. Rodney Terry had been a head coach prior to that, but he wasn't very good. Fresno State and a few other places. But, and so he moves on. He gets in there, and you know, he made the most of his opportunity. Takes a team to the Elite Eight that was loaded with, loaded with seniors and loaded with a lot of great talent where the chemistry really clicked. And then, unfortunately, the next couple of years kind of underachieved, and they couldn't really find that magic again. And so, look, Chris Del Conte he runs in tight circles. There's a lot of country clubbers with a lot of money, and they want Texas to have the best. And you look around at all of Texas athletics, they've got some of the best coaches in every other sport. Sark going back-to-back CFP playoff appearances. Vic Schaefer's got the women's team in line to potentially win a championship this year. They win titles in all these other sports, swimming and diving and rowing and all this other stuff. The one sport that I think was kind of, you look at the head coach and said, I don't know if he's elite. And that was Rodney Terry. And so they make the move. They go get Sean Miller from Xavier. This is an incredible hire, a guy who you give him all the resources of the University of Texas. I think he's going to do some damage. I think he had three Elite Eights when he was in Arizona. The sky's the limit. Now, look, the SEC already had the best collection of head coaches, and now it gets even stronger with the addition of Sean Miller. I just don't know. Man, it's going to be tough. I always say this in football every year. Somebody has to suck. So, I mean, if you got the best coaches, like somebody's got to stink, moving forward. I don't put it this way. I don't think the SEC getting 14 teams in the tournament. I don't think this will be a regular occurrence. This is rare, but, you know, let's say 10 teams make it next year. I mean, six teams didn't. Which coaches missed the tournament? So, but Sean Miller certainly does not make it easier on the rest of the schools in the SEC.
Before we let you go, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, the baseball side of things has been incredible. As we are two series in, two SEC play, everybody getting started this weekend with their third of the season. You look top to bottom. You've got Arkansas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas at the top. In the middle, it's Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Vandy. And then the teams at the bottom, it's really a shock, Chris. Kentucky's down there at 2-4. Mississippi State's 1-5. South Carolina's 1-5. And three teams are winless in SEC play. Florida, Missouri, and Texas A&M are all 0-6 in SEC play. Are you more surprised by who's at the bottom or who's at the top?
Well, I think the Texas A&M, I mean, they were the preseason number one team in college baseball. So for them to be winless at this point in the season, yeah, I think they're realizing it. And I said this before the season, cautionary tale, you know, that look, whenever you fire a head coach, what's the first thing everybody rallies to? The interim coach. Yeah. We love this guy. The players love him. Rally the troops. He's going to lead this team. it rarely is it the right decision. You know, you can't go with that. I mean, if they had gone with that, Auburn would have Cadillac Williams right now as their head football coach. You have to make the tough decision. And they unfortunately went that path and said, oh, we love Michael Early. He'll step right in. He'll be what Jim Schlossnagel was. Not so fast. Jim Schlossnagel's a hell of a coach. He's a dirtbag and how he left A&M to go to Texas, but he's a hell of a coach. And there's a reason why Texas is already sitting up there near the top of the SEC, an incredible series. They took 2 out of 3 against LSU last weekend in Austin. Welcome to the SEC. But yeah, Michael Early is learning. It's not just about having talent. You've got to be able to manage your team and push the right buttons in game, and they have not been able to do that. And A&M, shockingly, at the bottom of the SEC right now, winless. But look, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Auburn as a little bit of surprise.
At 4-2,
I think going into Georgia this weekend, right, I think the mission objective should be don't get swept.
Sure.
Try to steal one if you can. Look, if you win 2 out of 3, I'd be shocked. But Auburn has certainly played above their head so far, and you have to be impressed. And like I said, just go find a way to win one, and because that Georgia team is a hell of a team so far.
If Auburn wins 2 out of 3, Chris, you'll have no choice but to hop on here next week and talk positively about that baseball team.
Look, I'm talking positively about them now. I'm just saying I don't think they're as good as Georgia. I think Georgia's on a different level right now. But, no, they've certainly been impressive so far. And, you know, you mentioned, like, Kentucky. They got to the Omaha last year, but they lost a ton on that team. And Missouri was expected to be the cellar dweller anyway. So, yeah, I think so far not a ton of shockers. I know Alabama's been playing pretty well, you know, to start the year. They had a tough one against Tennessee. But I still think Tennessee is the best of the best, you know, best team in all college baseball.
Well, there's no doubt the SEC continues to dominate in every sport it participates in, and this guy covers that conference better than anybody. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he joins us every Thursday. Apologies, you missed a run scored by the Astros. Your guys are up 1-0 against the Mets. So tell people where they can find you and your content. You can get back out to the ballpark.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube, we got the video version up there. We've been our numbers have been through the roof here these last 3 weeks with tournament talk. Who knew? You get 7 teams in the Sweet 16, and SEC fans want to talk basketball for once. It's weird. Normally, we'd be full on into spring football coverage right now, but we're talking basketball.
Well, there you go. Check it out, Locked.SEC, wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Chris, appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, thanks, man. Talk to you next week.
Chris Gordy, Locked.SEC. Check him out wherever you get your podcast. He does an incredible job as he is there at the Astros game right now. He's, of course, based out of Houston, and so we appreciate him taking some time from the game and talking to us here on the radio. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, we appreciate Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, also Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, our two wonderful guests on Thursday afternoons, for joining us on the phone lines today. Appreciate Christian Griffin, who is not here wrapping up the show. He just got to Daneville as he is calling some Lee Scott baseball later on this afternoon on the Lee Scott Sports Network, and so check that out on Tiger Country 104.5. Game one of a 3-game set for the Warriors and the Tigers of Daneville. That is an area matchup, so be sure you check that out on Tiger Country 104.5. First pitch set for 4:30. He'll be on the air about 4:15, 4:20 on 104.5. And so he was with me for the first hour, and then I wrapped up the second hour on my own. I know, it's crazy, but just like old times, right? It's a flash from the past a little bit. We talked a lot of basketball today as the Sweet 16 gets started tonight. We've kind of dove into the numbers a little bit, the matchups as well. Gave our picks for the first games of the Sweet 16. And so coming up on tomorrow's show, we will be talking about those games and the results from tonight. And, of course, previewing the games coming up tomorrow, including Auburn and Michigan. Yes, we will be talking a lot about that game tomorrow. And so be sure that you come back and join us 2 to 4 here on ESPN 106.7. We got a guest, Lance Dahl, will be in tomorrow to talk about the Kentucky-Tennessee game and the Auburn game, of course. He is the host of Locked On Kentucky. He also works for The Barn and does some contributions there as well for Auburn. And so excited to have him in the studio tomorrow. Christian will be back tomorrow for an hour. He's got more baseball tomorrow afternoon. And so we're going to have a lot of fun on a free-for-all Friday. If you missed any of today's show, you can check it out, ESPNAU.com. That's where you'll find the podcast version of the show. You can find it there each and every day or wherever you get your podcast. We talked to Brad Law in hour number one. Just got off the phone with Chris Gordy. Talked a lot of basketball. We've even talked some baseball as opening day is underway. The Atlanta Braves are currently in action. They're taking on the Padres, trailing 2-1, bottom of the second. My Boston Red Sox taking on the Rangers, tied 1-1. And so all sorts of games. I mean, there are, how many are on right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 baseball games on right now with three more to start later on. So you could check all those out. Happy opening day to those of you that celebrate. And again, we'll be back tomorrow, 2-4, here on ESPN, talking a lot of basketball, recapping the games tonight. Hopefully they're good. I think some will be. Could you see a blowout? Maybe. Chris sounded like he was fairly confident that Alabama runs away from BYU. Sounds like he thinks Florida is going to run away from Maryland as well, and he doesn't think that Arkansas's got the dudes to hang with Texas Tech. And so tonight's are going to be awesome. Tomorrow's may just be even better. We'll break it all down on the show coming up tomorrow. But that's going to do it for today's Thursday edition of On the Line. We appreciate you being with us. Again, if you missed any of it, check it out, ESPNAU.com. We're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. For my co-host, Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. Until tomorrow, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.